tonight. And well, let me say this before you do that. I had to get my Bible. I got it. I had a sabbatical year that was unexpectedly given to me on the year of my Jubilee since my salvation. My salvation was June the 16th, 1967. And God saw to it that I took off 9 months in 2017, which was my 50th anniversary of getting saved. And I took some trips during those 9 months. Went to the Midwest, to Michigan, to Iowa, to Missouri. Took more than one trip to Florida. And I had people in Scranton, Lackawanna County. I think I had been in the ministry to that point. I was 67. I think they wanted me to retire. And they were happy to have me retire. They didn't want me to continue leading Scranton Revival Baptist Church. But God had other plans and he kept me going. And I'm so thankful that he did. It would be easy to go to Florida and live by the ocean and play shuffleboard, you know. But I didn't want to take that easy road that many would call retirement at age 67. In fact, in 2023, I'm not interested in that, to be honest with you. And I'm thinking of a guy called Wendell Kempton, and he spoke about going out from Bible college and getting a church in the meadow and just relaxing there and having a nice, easy church. He said, there'll be some of you that will go for that kind of ministry. He said, then there'll be others of you that'll go for that church where you have to climb the mountain. And you're climbing that mountain. And you get almost to the top and then you fall back down. And then you start climbing again. And I never forget that message he preached. And I was like, yes, that's what I want. And that's really, if you be honest, that's really what the Christian life is all about. The Christian life is not just let go and let God. It's not let go and let God. By the way, God works in us, gives us the grace, but we have to climb. We have to overcome. We have to conquer. And there are some people that got the mentality, well, I just want to cope with my life. Maybe I want to take drugs and cope. But that's not what God called us to do. Did he call us to cope? No, he called us to conquer. That means there are going to be problems. That means there's going to be enemies. That means there's going to be difficulties. And so the Apostle Paul put it this way in Philippians 4:13. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's not who strengthens me. The King James Bible is right there. Which strengtheneth me? What strengtheneth me? What strengthens me is I do it through Christ. You don't get strengthened unless you're willing to do it. But then when you're willing to do it, you have to do it through your union with Christ. You've got to draw upon that strength. But that strength doesn't kick in unless you do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That strengthens me. When I step out and do it, but I'm drawing from Christ as I do it, and as your day, so shall your strength be. A lot of people worry, oh, Pastor, you preach we're going to go through tribulations. You preach we're going to go into the great tribulation if we're here. Hey, you might not even be here. You worry about things before. Live it one day at a time. And God will give you grace to live this Christian life. That's the way I found it to be, and it's good, but it's a challenge. And I found out I'm not here to play shuffleboard and watch the ocean. I'm here to conquer for Christ. I think of what Brother Jack Hiles said. I was just talking to Tom about it. I got some pain in my knees. They're healing now. They're just about healed, so I can jump. Now it's in the back, though. Scarlett, I need a little bit more help on the back, I think. But I had all this stuff happen, you know. And Brother Hiles said he was up in years, and he had plans, and he was moving forward. And he said he had to wear a truss around his trunk to be able to travel and preach. And he said, my theme song is Trust and Obey. And I was telling Brother Tom about that trust and obey, you know, and wear that around the trunk. But he wants us to conquer. I'm saying that we are living in a cursed world. People ask me how I'm doing. I like to say I'm doing gloriously, but in a mortal body. My wife said that's a little too heavy. But I'll say it nevertheless. I'm doing gloriously, but in a mortal... See, spiritually, I'm in the heavenlies. Spiritually, I'm dead, buried, and risen. But I live in a mortal body and will until Jesus comes back. Amen? Until that body is glorified. And so what am I saying? You've got to overcome your mortality. You've got to overcome the problems in this world. You've got to overcome the temptations to be drawn aside by the pleasures of this world. So here's the verse tonight for my text. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I want to talk to you tonight about overcoming with your overcomer. I want to challenge you tonight not to seek the grassy plain, not to seek the easy road, but to overcome with Jesus as your overcomer. And who overcomes the world? The one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, because we have our eyes on somebody greater than this world. And so that's what I want to talk about. And I want to say three things about that. Number one, overcoming with your overcomer shows you that you have worldly enemies against you. And I want to quote from Numbers 22:11. Here's what it says. Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Who said that? Balak. Who is Balak? A Baal worshiper. Who is Balak? A worldly man. And he hated the fact that God redeemed Israel out of Egypt. Can I say to you that worldly people, people of this world, they're not happy about your salvation. They're not happy about the course of your life. Don't expect them to be. And Balak, in fact, wanted the Israelites cursed. So he called on an apostate prophet, an apostate preacher by the name of Balaam, who wanted the money, who wanted the fame that Balak could give him, because he himself was worldly. And he said, you curse them for me. And Balaam wanted to do it, but he said, I can't do it. It's impossible. You can't curse them. And by the way, thank God, if you're truly saved, all things work together for good. You can't be stopped by the devil, by the world, by your own flesh. You have three enemies, but it can't stop you. Because why? God is for you. And so if you're born again, you are going to have to face your enemies. But because you have faith in somebody that conquered this world, you can overcome. So this shows you that you have worldly enemies against you that you must overcome. The flesh, the world, and the devil. Now, Balaam told Balak, though, now don't miss this, he said there is a way we can get God's children cursed. I mean, there is a way that we can defeat them. And Balak said, well, how? How do we defeat them? And I'm going to put it in today's lingo. He said, do it with missionary dating. He said, if you can do missionary dating, he said, hold these big parties and do some Baal worship in it. Bring out your girls, bring out your pretty girls. And he said, I want you to have the Israelite men to date the Moabite and Midianite women. And you will get them into fornication, and you will get them into idolatry, And they will be under God's chastening. And that is the way you can defeat them. And that's exactly what Balak did. But what does the Bible say? Here's what the Bible says. Listen carefully. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? God says in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 6, he says, wherefore, come out from among them, and what? Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. You see, God says, don't get too close to worldly people. Oh, I know that the temptation is, I want to be accepted by the world. And after all, if I get close to the world, I can win them. By hanging with them and being around them. And so there is that temptation to get into what's called missionary dating, and people get tempted with it. I was counseling somebody about that, and they said, well, that might be good for a teenager. I said, no, it's good for any time in your life. Amen. That principle does not change. In your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, you have some guy that tells you you're gorgeous. Don't listen. Don't give him your number. Well, I can win him. No, that's missionary dating. That doesn't work. You say, well, who tried that? I'll tell you who tried that. Jehoshaphat. You've been reading about him in the Bible. Jehoshaphat was a godly king, wasn't he? But Jehoshaphat, he taught the word of God. He loved God. He had the right God. He had one big problem. You know what his problem was? He liked to hang close to worldly people, unsaved people. And he liked his cousins up there in the northern kingdom, the family of Ahab. And he would go up and he would go into battle with Ahab. And remember, the prophet of God came up. His name was Jehu. And he said, should the godly help the ungodly? And he rebuked him for it. But Ahab kept getting into that problem. And you say, well, what happened as a result of that? I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what happened. Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, a lady named Athaliah. What a wicked lady that was. And what a terrible effect. It messed up his family and brought all kinds of confusion. And so Balaam was telling Balak, I'll tell you how to get God's people. Get into missionary dating. And you shouldn't do it. In fact, let me use this illustration. Kate, would you come up here, please? I'm just going to use a little illustration here, and I'm going to show you how missionary dating does not work. All right, Kate, can you just stand on that pew right there?
Stand on it?
Yeah, just stand on it. All right. Now, Ben, would you come over here, please, for one moment? Now, I want you to help pull Ben up. Let's say, Ben, couldn't you mind being a Midianite for tonight? He doesn't look like a Midianite to me, I'll tell you that. But anyway, he's going to be a Midianite. And your idea is to pull Ben up to you. All right, so go ahead, reach out with your hand and pull him up. She's strong. She's got, okay, pull her down.
Pull her down.
Yeah, when she pulls. Now, all right, see? Very good. Give him a hand. That was well done. Now, you see, it says in the Bible, touch not the unclean thing. And that's why you're right, Scarlett, to say you're not going to kiss anybody till your wedding day. I know that's her commitment. Because touch not the unclean thing. Do you think the world goes by those standards? Oh, you kidding me? The world laughs at that. The world thinks that funny. So a guy says, oh, you're so gorgeous. And you say, man, no Christian guy's saying that to me. I'll go with him. I'll go with him. Yeah, but you're going to go into trouble.
Yep.
And you're going to go into it fast because he's got designs. He's of the world. And he's doing what the world does. And so it's so much easier to get pulled down than for you to pull somebody up. That's why missionary dating does not work. If you want a missionary date, turn them to some of the guys in the church. If it's a girl with a guy, and invite them to go to the church. But you have help there, and you don't go out and date to win him to Christ. You say, well, Pastor, that's worked before. I've seen it work before. You don't build doctrines on God's mercy. For every one example you give me where it worked, I'll give you 10 where it didn't work, and I've been a pastor for 45 years. I just think it's only sound to go by the Bible. And so if you're going to overcome, you want to do it with the overcomer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to keep on going with God, amen, and staying with God and staying with what he wants you to do, and don't get turned away from that. Now, let me give you another illustration of this, and I've shared this before. I had a niece named Lindsay Bloom, went to Baptist High. And my niece went to Baptist High. She was coming home from her Christian school. She was not, you know, going to a public school and anything like that. She was at a Christian school. But she was coming home from her Christian school. And she crossed by a gas station. And there was a guy there named Bill who worked there at the gas station. And she looked at him, a good-looking, nice guy, but she thought, I'll tell him about Jesus. That was her desire. And so she did. She told him about the Lord. She went home that night. She told her dad. She said, look, Dad, on the way home, I met this guy, Bill, and I told him about the Lord. And she said, you know, it was really good. You know, pray for him. He said, I will pray for him. He said, but don't go by there one more time. He said, don't go by. Don't talk to him again. Well, that seemed kind of strict. And she went back another time and talked to him a little more about the Lord. And went back another time, talked to him a little more about the Lord. Went back another time. And just like you saw, eventually she got pulled into his orbit of dating him. And then she got pregnant. And then she got church discipline. And then 9/11, that night at a prayer meeting, she was with her family. She'd just come back to the Lord. Just got right and came back to the Lord. But the Lord decided to take her home to heaven early. Her and her little baby in her womb. Hope. Hope. And I'm just saying to you, sometimes God uses a sermon example, and God was going to use Lindsay for that. And I'm using my niece to make a message to you tonight, because I love her. And I look forward to seeing her someday and her baby. But I'm just saying to you, using Lindsay's example there, don't missionary date. Take it to heart, because it is one of the tricks of the devil. And you need to overcome and to realize the devil is your enemy, the flesh is your enemy, the world is your enemy, and it will try to get you away. And so avoid that. Don't be like ungodly Jehoshaphat. By the way, parents, older people, do not send kids to the liberal church events where you'll see a bunch of unsaved Northern Kingdom people. Don't send them to Devil State University and colleges so they can form unequal bonds and have relationships with the world's opposite sex. Don't try to be wiser than God. Realize that you need to overcome by realizing you have worldly enemies against you. And this shows you that you have those worldly enemies, and be aware of it. Number two, overcoming with the overcomer shows you that you have supernatural help. And let's look at Caleb now in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. And I'll read it. It says, Caleb said about going into the promised land, he says, we are well able to overcome it. Why did he say that? Because the people of God had heard about Canaan land. They heard about the grapes of Eshcol. They heard about the milk and honey. And by the way, I went to Israel. I thought the honey was bee honey. It's not. It's date honey. And they sell date honey. How many of you like dates? Have you ever had dates? Now we're not talking about missionary dates. We're talking about dates, you know, the real thing. I love dates. They're really good. My daughter Amy's here. She made some date balls of deliciousness, and I was eating them yesterday. I love that. Dates. But they have date honey. You know, they melt the date and make it into honey. It's and the land of milk and honey. Goat's milk and dates. And that's the land of milk and honey. But it was a beautiful land. It was God's land. And the people were promised by God, you can go in there. But they had a problem. They saw these giants and these walled up cities. And they said, we cannot go in. And they were crying, Moses, why'd you bring us out here? It's such a good land, but we can't get in. You know, I hear God's people doing that a lot. Instead of seeing God, they see the giants in their way. And Caleb stilled them. He said, wait a minute. We are well able to overcome it. I talk about my sabbatical when I was gone for 9 months. Brother Bob, you remembered that, those days. Brother Bob preached some good messages for me during that time, and our other deacons preached good messages. Brother Joe and others, Brother Steve. And we went through that time. And then it got longer and longer, and some of the people were like, we can't do this. We can't keep this up. We're going to have to call another pastor. Deacons are getting tired. But you know what? Those that are mature in the Lord, listen to me now, those that are mature in the Lord, they know that we're able to overcome. Amen. I know Brother Joe's one of those. Brother Joe's one of those. He didn't waver. He didn't waver. That's why he was the head man. He didn't waver, Brother Joe. And Caleb didn't waver, and Joshua didn't waver. We be well over. How do they do that? You look to the Lord, and you look to the promise of God for supernatural help. If I looked at things on a natural basis, I would not be here 45 years. I would have given up a long time ago and gone to play shuffleboard down in Florida and walked out on the beach and looked for things and be a beachcomber. I'm just saying to you, my friend, God gives you supernatural help when you step out in faith to do the will of God. And so you are able, and this shows you have supernatural help. Remember when Bobby Hiller preached here, I think it was on a Wednesday in 2017 when I was on sabbatical. How many were here that night Bobby Hiller preached? A few of you. He preached that night, and you know what he preached on? He preached on Elisha the prophet, and Elisha the prophet was given supernatural help by God to discern where the army of Syria would be, and he would tell the king of Israel, this is where the army would be. He had supernatural help. But the problem was when the king of Syria asked, who is a spy in my cabinet? They told him, no, it's not us. It's the prophet Elijah that's doing this to you. And so what did he do? He sent the whole army after Elijah and his servant, one poor preacher. And the whole army was surrounding Elisha. And like Elisha is just calm. You say, why was he calm? He saw what Caleb saw. He saw the invisible. If your eyes would be open tonight, you would not just see you here and me here tonight. You would see chariots of fire. You would see angels around us because they long to look into what's going on in the church. You say, this isn't a big enough and great enough church for that. Oh, hogwash. Yep. A great church is not just measured in numbers, friend. Otherwise, the Catholic Church is the greatest church. You're way off, friend. You're way off. See, I had the vision when I came up here from Florida. When I came up here from Florida in 19, whatever it was. When I came up here, 46 years ago this October, When I came up here, you do the math, I was not intimidated. And the message I preached two messages on Sunday. I said, basically, this is a great church, and I'm not ashamed of it. Like Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. I said, I'm not ashamed of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And that's what Elisha saw. But what did his servant Gehazi saw? He's like, oh, he was freaking out. Like, oh, man, these armies are going to kill us. They're going to destroy us. And Elijah just prayed. He said, Lord, open their eyes. And Bobby Hiller said, that's what this church needs right now. You see all these people against you. You see against the preacher. He said, you just need to have your eyes open and realize you got more for you than against you. I went up to the hospital the other day to visit Shirley Merritt, pray for her. She's in the hospital. I prayed with her. They're doing tests on her. She fell out of bed and couldn't get up. And they took her in. And she was encouraged, and we spent time. But anyway, while I was there, I ran into this guy named Doug, and he recognized me. Hey, Pastor. And I was trying to figure out where he's from. He's from Carbondale, and his mother's in a high-rise there, and now she's in the hospital. He said, pray for wisdom. If they have to have her in assisted living, just pray. But he said something. He said, you know what? There are two angels with God's people, and there are two angels right in here with my mother. Just as I'm walking in, I thought, yeah, that's true, because Luke 16 talked about two angels that met Lazarus and took him to Abraham's bosom. You have angels that watch over you. And I'm just saying that we have supernatural help, and that should encourage us, beloved, to overcome, because we have that supernatural help of Almighty God. Now listen to me. Jehu, King Jehu, was anointed by God to kill wicked Jezebel and to kill Ahab by prophecy. I mean, he was anointed by God to kill Ahab's house, I should say, Jehoram and the northern and the southern kingdom. He killed them both because they had intermarried because of Jehoshaphat. He killed all the Baal worshipers. He just killed them. You know what? I believe Donald Trump was raised up to get rid of the Baal worshipers, the Moloch worshipers. I don't believe abortion is a woman's right to choose. I believe abortion is feeding Moloch, Baal. And it was broken federally by the judges with the help of Donald Trump. And I said I believe that would happen. And in 2016... did Donald Trump not have supernatural help to get in there? According to Larry Nichols, who worked with Hillary Clinton's campaign, and we know how many dirty tricks she's pulled, devilish lady, witchy lady. Do you know that she's pulled so many dirty tricks? Larry Nichols worked with her, and then he turned away from her, and he said, I knew what she was going to do, so I went into the states where she had planned to win the election by getting Ohio and Michigan and getting fraud in the big cities like Detroit and other places, and she was going to steal the election. And remember, she didn't campaign in the Rust Belt states? And they said, why isn't she even campaigning? Because she knew that she had it by fraud. But what happened? Donald Trump had so many votes, it overwhelmed their plans and surprised them. And they were shocked. She asked for a recount. She didn't ask, but she asked Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, to do a recount in those states. And why did she do that? Because she couldn't believe it, that they were overwhelmed in their fraud. And Trump won. Well, what did they do? Then they launched right in to impeach him one and then impeach him twice. And then what did they do? Then they launched all this stuff against Donald Trump, one thing after the other, in order to unseat him and get him out of there. But did they do it? Yeah, they they finally were able to do it. They got him out of there. But listen to me, now he is running again, and he is way ahead of any Republican in the polls. And so what are they doing? They're indicting him. They're indicting him for taking documents that are classified, even though every president has done that, and even though Biden did that, and he wasn't even a president, and even though it's covered under the Presidential Records Act that says a president legally can do that. Biden did it, he wasn't a president. He's not covered under that. Donald J. Trump was. But they are doing everything they can to stop it. And I just heard now they're going to indict him again for January 6th. For inciting the January 6th people to riot and do insurrection against the government of the United States. What are they trying to do? I don't know, but I know this, that they want to get rid of him, and he just keeps going up in the polls every time they indict him. They may even try to arrest him this time. It'll go higher. Put him in jail, I mean. And where are they getting the jury? Washington, D.C., the swamp. You know what tells me? When that many people of the world are against somebody, I believe they're anointed of God to take down systems of evil over the United States. If that's happened in 2016 to Donald Trump, think about John Kennedy and how he was assassinated by the CIA, and that's been proven. Tucker Carlson witnessed the document, the guy that saw the documents. He personally interviewed the guy that saw the documents. He didn't reveal his source. But that the CIA had part Robert F. Kennedy saying the same thing. You say, what's going on, Pastor? I'm saying to you tonight, you're here in prayer meeting. We're praying for our nation. We need supernatural help. We need God to come through. But I'm not despairing of the help of God. I believe in the help of God. Our nation is an exceptional nation. I was just talking to my son-in-law about the French and Indian War. We didn't talk about this per se, but the French and Indian War. They found an Indian, and they said, who is this man? He is protected by a divine spirit. We tried to kill him. We shot him. We shot him. Every Indian was shooting at him, trying to kill him. And the bullets went, but they did not kill him. His name was George Washington. He was fighting with the British then. He testified to that. I read it. And then you have the Revolutionary War, and Washington was trying to escape across the Delaware. The British could come and get him, and the fog came down from God and protected Washington. The War of 1812, the British were so powerful, they came in and burned the buildings in Washington, and the horses were coming right up the stairs in government buildings in Washington and the British. And I heard David Barton, the historian, say it was a literal F5 tornado that came right down and got the British out of there. Listen, this nation is exceptional. There's only two nations that I know of in history. One is Israel, United States, that were dedicated to God. This nation was dedicated to God by George Washington in New York City at Ground Zero. And the other one was Israel, Solomon at the temple. And the presence of God came down. And the presence of God has been in this nation in mighty power. De Tocqueville said the key to this nation is the glory of God in the churches. Boy, that's what we need to get back to today. We can overcome what we're facing if we can get supernatural help from God. And Caleb said, we are well able to overcome it. Overcoming with the overcomer shows you have worldly enemies. Yes, shows you, though, you have supernatural help from Almighty God. Election fraud. Should we vote for DeSantis? Should we vote for any of the other Republicans that are running? Well, you be the judge, but Donald J. Trump ran again in 2020. Obama, in his highest votes, got in 2008 69,498 votes. Donald J. Trump, in his first run, got 62,979,636 votes. He was told by experts, if you could just get another 5 million votes, you win it for sure. But he didn't get 62,979 plus 5 million. He got 74.2 million votes in 2020. The most votes in history of anybody. He blew Obama out of the water. But of course, that year, with the help of mules and mail-in ballots, as they kept counting and counting and counting, the great Joe Biden that draws all these crowds, he managed to get 81,284,000 votes. If you believe that, I got swamp land in Florida for you. You're one of those P.T. Barnum talked about. But you know what? If you don't have eyes to see it, you're blinder than a bat. It is so clear that these globalists with Satan are after destroying Donald J. Trump and getting him out of there. And you say, well, why are we waiting? Perhaps God wants to wait on the churches to see who will have the discernment, to see who will stand up in a pulpit like I'm doing tonight and say, hey, we can overcome. We need supernatural help from God. This is a unique nation with a unique constitution. We're not under Caesar. The highest law in this land is the Constitution of the United States. Yep. It's worth fighting for, but listen to me. I don't believe we're going to have to fight in this battle with military weapons, and I'm not calling for it. I'm calling for us to fight with prayer. And I'm calling for us to keep doing what we did when they threw the coronavirus. By the way, that's another attack. The coronavirus. We can overcome by God's grace. And it shows you have a supernatural help. One more thing, it shows you that you have a supernatural Savior. Here's what Jesus said. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You say, well, how did Jesus overcome the world? He didn't set up his kingdom when he came. He obeyed the Father. And the Father said, you go to a cross. You die on that cross. You be a lamb, innocent to the slaughter. And so he overcame the world by obeying the Father. You want to overcome the world? Just follow Jesus like Jesus followed the Father.
Amen.
And he followed him to the cross. By the way, all the apostles that happened, they all were martyred except John. He was boiled in oil and God supernaturally delivered him. They followed Jesus. One step at a time. One step at a time. And Jesus died, but on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He said, be of good cheer. He said this in John's Gospel, chapter 16, he says, in me ye might have peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. But you know what happens to us? As soon as we get a little tribulation, as soon as we get a little problem, we start biting our nails. I bite my nails too, but for other reasons. You don't have to worry. I was counseling with one of our graduates, and she said, I am going to lose my house. I've got a house. I've got a place for my bunny rabbit. I got a place for my whatever that thing is, guinea pig. And I'm going to lose it. And because she said, I have a roommate, and the roommate is paying $750 a month, and I'm paying $750 a month, but the roommate is moving out on me, and I can't afford $1,500 a month, and I can't get anybody else to tell. So I've got to move out. And she was all worried about that. And I said, God will help you. Trust him. He's not surprised by this. Well, I don't know how to look for apartments and all of that. I said, trust him. And keep serving him. She went to church, and a family was there. And the family said, you looking for a place? Well, we have a little house. And we'll give it to you. Take a look at it for $550 a month. She got a special on the internet for a year and phone and all of that for $35 a month. And real close to church, not much money. You see, so many times we're worried about these things, and it distracts us from just staying in the will of God and staying with God. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You do not have to worry. And what am I saying tonight? He wants you to overcome with him. And yes, you're going to have worldly enemies. It shows you that. But you have supernatural help, and he'll come through. And you have a supernatural Savior that overcomes with you. Trust him. Obey him. Don't be worried. Don't be grumbling and complaining. In me you have peace. I've overcome. Can you see Jesus biting his fingernails right now, all upset about what's going on? No, he's not. He wants you to conquer through faith in him who overcame, and you can overcome. If he called upon me to die right now, could I do it? If he called upon me. But only if he called upon me. He'll give you the grace to do the impossible when you need it. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. I believe that there's no mistake that we're here tonight. He's talking about overcoming, conquering with the overcomer, having peace. That perhaps tonight you say, preacher, I've not had that peace. I've not had that mind stayed upon him. I've not been girding up the loins of my mind, but they're flowing all over the place. My thoughts go all over the place. I don't